So we're starting, as Trevor said, a new series where we're going to be drawing on a resource called the Bible Project, which was designed to help us understand and engage the incredible story of Scripture and understand God's engagement with humanity and his plan for salvation. Between now and just after Easter, we're going to be looking through different foundational elements. So, for example, today we're looking at covenant, next week, the image of God. We're going to look at understanding the whole thing of atonement and the cross and sacrifice as we come up to Easter. We're also going to be looking at more detail about what is the kingdom of God all about. What are we going to be looking at? What's the place of justice and the justice of God in the Bible? So we're going to take on really interesting themes. And we're going to, each week is going to be a spread of seeing how those themes carry through the whole spread of Scripture. And then there's going to be a follow-through to our small groups. So each week, you're going to be receiving a smallized version of this with some, like, a study guide and questions and discussions that you can then unpack those in your small groups together. So I'm really looking forward to a really fantastic number of weeks together in this. So this morning, we're going to start at the starting point. How to be a partner with God. Why I flipped it for this week? It's because it builds on what we've been looking at about walking in alignment with God and how Jesus walked in this incredible partnership with his Father. This is going to give us this morning a bit of the back history of how we've ended up being able to have a partnership with God. There are several ways, of course, in our relationship with God that we've heard about different things. So we've heard about how we can have a relationship with God. He's our creator. We've also heard about how he's been depicted as a father in the Bible, as a savior, as our master, a teacher. And yet there's another facet of a relationship with God that doesn't quite get perhaps as much attention. And that is that God is our partner. And in the very beginning of the Bible, this is the relationship that we see. God creates man as a partner with a shared goal to help God spread his goodness throughout the world. But unfortunately, we as human beings didn't live up to our side of the deal. We wanted a world that would be based on our terms and not on God's terms. And it is this point, that this partnership with God, where we got stuck with this fallen, corrupted world in which we live, marked by corruption, injustice, and death. And the Bible explains that it wasn't just one person who had bailed out on this, but it was... Have we been clicking through the slides? John, can you help us through? That's great. Creation. God's amazing goodness to spread through the world. But then how it got corrupted. And it wasn't just a couple of people that got corrupted. It ended up being all of us. But thankfully, the rest of the Bible describes God's efforts to repair this broken partnership. And the first step God takes in repairing this partnership is to select a small group of people and to make a partnership with them that was called a covenant. And this covenant was like an agreement with the formal conditions on both sides that God would make promises to these people and ask them to fulfill certain commitments from their side. And what I want you to take away from today is that there was a part that was for God's part to play, and then there was also the part that we have got to play as part of a partnership relationship with God. In total, there were four such old covenants that were made in the Old Testament. There was one with Noah, there was one with Abraham, there was one with the Israelites, and there was one with King David. All of these covenants serve the purpose of creating a new partnership into which God can eventually invite the whole of humanity into. Just take a look at this video, and it explains a little bit more about what these four covenants represented.
It's not like there's just one or two humans who have bailed on this relationship. In the story of the Bible, everyone has abandoned the partnership with God.
So what God does is select a smaller group of people out of the men, and he makes a new partnership with them called a covenant. And in a covenant, God makes promises, and then in exchange asks his partner to fulfill certain commitments. And the purpose of all of this is to somehow use this covenant relationship to renew his partnership with everybody else.
Now, there are actually four times in the Old Testament that we're told God initiates a covenant relationship with Noah, Abraham, the nation of Israel, and King David.
And it's through these that God is forming a covenant family into which all people will eventually be invited.
So let's see how these work. The first one is with Noah.
So in this story, God has just brought the flood to cleanse the world of humanity's corruption, and Noah and his family are the only ones left. And so God makes a covenant with Noah, saying, listen, I know that humans will continue to be evil, but despite that, I'm not going to destroy it like this again. Instead, the earth will be this reliable place for us to work together.
Great. So what does Noah have to do?
Nothing. And that's what's so interesting about this first covenant, is that God is promising to be faithful, even though he knows humans won't be.
The next time we see God make a covenant is with a man named Abraham. God chooses him, promises to bless him, give him a large family, lots of land where they can flourish.
And in return, God asks Abraham to trust him and train up his family to do what is right and just. And the whole reason for this covenant is God says that somehow he's going to bring his blessing to all families of the world through this one family.
So that's Abraham. The next time we see God make a covenant is when Abraham's family grows into the tribe of Israel.
And this covenant is with the whole tribe. God asks them to obey a set of laws, which are these guidelines for living well as a community of God's partners. And if they do this, then God promises to bless them and that they will become a people who then represent him to the rest of humanity.
That's the covenant with Israel. The last covenant is with King David.
Yeah, the tribe of Israel has become this large nation ruled by David. And God asks David and his descendants to partner with him by leading Israel in obeying the laws and doing what is right and just. And God promises that one day, one of David's sons will come and extend God's kingdom of peace and blessing over all the nations.
So those are the four covenants that God makes in order to restore his partnership with the whole world.
But unfortunately, as we know, one by one, Israel spectacularly breaks the covenants with God, failing to live to their terms. And their kings are unfaithful to the covenant that God made with their king, David. And the presence of God we see in the book of Ezekiel, tragically, the glory of God winds up in a wheel and removes God's presence and glory from the house of God. And Israel even ends up losing their promised land. And they get put into exile into Babylon. I mean, this is a bad day. These are dark days for Israel. Things are really on the rocks in their relationship with God. But do you know what? God never bails out. God never gives up on us in his amazing grace and mercy. And so we begin to see that there are prophets that come talking about the promise of a new covenant, of a better covenant that could begin to mend this relationship that had got broken. And there were prophets that began to look forward to this new day, that God would fulfill his goals for his covenants, to overcome evil with good and bring blessing and hope again to all nations. And so we begin to read in Jeremiah 31 and verse 31 to 34. The day is coming, God began to say, when I am going to make a new agreement with people. The covenant will not be like the ones that I made with our ancestors when I took them out of the land of Egypt, because they broke those covenants, though I love them as a husband loves his wife. But this is the new covenant that I will make with the people of Israel on that day, says the Lord. I am actually going to put my instructions deep within them. And I will write them on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they will be my people. Can you see what God was doing? I'm going to take it from external things that you've got to do, and I'm going to plant a desire and an ability and a passion to begin to live the walk, the ways of God. And Ezekiel 36:22-32 says, well, one of the verses there says, I will give you a new heart, because the trouble was the heart of the matter was the matter of the heart. That was why that covenant kept getting broken. And God said, I'm going to do a miracle. I am going to change the human heart, as it were, the human condition in the power of this new covenant. And he says, I will put a new spirit in you and to empower them to love and obey the terms of this new covenant. And it was going to come out of relationship and not out of religion. So this new covenant was going to be fulfilled and set in place by Jesus on their behalf, so that we could come back into a partnership with God again. Just take a minute to have a look at how Jesus began to put these covenants back into place again on behalf of you and me with God. Take a look at this.
Seems hopeless. But during this time, Israel's prophets talked about a day when God would restore these covenants in spite of Israel's failure, somehow.
Yeah, they called it the New Covenant. And this is actually what's so interesting about Jesus, is that he's introduced into this story as the one who fulfills all of these covenant relationships. We're told that he's from the family of Abraham, and so he will bring the blessings of that family to the whole world. We're told that he's the faithful Israelite who is able to truly obey the law. And we're told that he's the king from the line of David, and so he goes about extending God's kingdom of justice and peace to all.
And that's really remarkable for one guy.
Yeah, and what it highlights is perhaps the most surprising claim of all made about this man, that Jesus is no mere human, but rather God become human. And God did this in order to be that faithful covenant partner that we are all made to be, but have failed to be. And so through Jesus, God has opened up a way for anyone to be in a renewed partnership with him.
So Jesus calls people to follow him and become part of this new covenant family.
And despite their failures, Jesus is committed to making them into partners who are becoming more and more faithful.
The story of the Bible ends with a vision of a fully renewed world, full of goodness and peace.
And there's this renewed humanity there, partnering together with God to expand the goodness of his creation. And so the end of the Bible story is really a new beginning.
So this is the partnership that God is extending to have with us, and what he is calling you and me into with him today. It could sound like science fiction, but guys, this is so real, this relationship. And he's inviting you into a real living partnership with him. And this, I think this is what it means to be a Christian, probably at the heart of it, to be a partner with God. And what was incredible was that in the Old Covenant and in the Old Testament times, covenants were sealed together with blood. And one partner party would basically say, I want to enter into an agreement with a greater, more powerful partner for protection, for collaboration, and they would seal it with a covenant of blood. So they would slit their wrists and they would mingle their blood together, and it would be a mark that I'm in covenant with Les, right? And if you mess with Les, you mess with me. But if you mess with me, you're not just messing with me, you're messing with Les as well. And boy, look out for Les on a bad day. He is a mean fighting machine. And, you know, together. And so this was this partnering, this partnership with God. And so these covenants were ratified in blood and blood sacrifice. So in your small groups, you'll be studying and looking through how those covenants were set. But what was remarkable was that, that in a number of those covenants, it was God who said he would not only do his part of it, But he would do our part of it as well. He would fully be the one that would ratify and make this agreement sure. And so this is why Jesus shed blood at the cross, because it was a new covenant that God was making with humanity, sealed in his precious blood. And there is no forgiveness without the shedding of blood. This was such an important part of this new covenant. And so it was a covenant sealed in blood. You're going to be able to study these terms, these covenants, more in your small groups. But what is God's part to do? This is what I'm interested in. Under this new covenant, as a Christian, what is God's bit to do? And what is my bit to do in this connection? In our relationship with God, he's got goals of wanting to see his goodness spread. And Paul talks about overcome evil with good. But this new covenant was even better than these old ones. And it's not based on rules, but it is based on everything that Christ did for us on our behalf. And we simply receive everything that God's done for us by grace. We say, yes, thank you, Jesus. You've done it for me. I could not make that gap between us and God fixed. You did it on my behalf. And you have given me a new covenant, a new base of relationship that I can receive and walk into. And Jesus came and he said, you know all those 10 commandments and all those other rules and regulations that were wrapped around that we were so not able to fulfill? Jesus came and just realized that sometimes less is more. And he just reduced it down to two commands. He said, just do these two things. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. Because in doing these two things, you fulfill all the covenant and you fulfill all the ways of God and all the laws of God. It's all summed up in these two. And he said, I am going to give you a heart of love. And one of the things that we hear testimonies on from Alpha is so often is that God changes a heart that once it was really embittered and angry at the world, but God gives us a heart of love that's not wishy-washy and soppy and sentimental and all Hollywoody, but it is really, it's got substance to it. It's got an incredible passion to it, but it's got a commitment to it, and it's got a vibrancy to it, which is a driver for us to love God and love other people. And so Jesus came and said, hey, just as I've forgiven you, go and forgive others. As you've freely received, he says, as you receive from me in this partnership, go and freely give to other people. Do you get how the new covenant begins to work out? He says, abide in me, and I will abide in you. And he said, obey and listen to the instructions of the Holy Spirit. And listen to the word of God and begin to trust and obey. That was one of the things that you'll see was called for under the old covenant, was to obey the ways of God. But we kept screwing it up. But under the new covenant, with the Holy Spirit inside of us, we're empowered to walk in this new relationship, and to walk in a relationship of hearing, listening, obedience, and trust. And one of the problems is having a life-changing message every single Sunday, 52 weeks of the year, is that none of our lives change, because we don't get time to live it out. And we don't live it out. We haven't learned it until we've caught it and until we're living it out. And this is this core stuff about partnership and living out a relationship with God. And we take on the ways of Jesus, empowered and enabled by the Holy Spirit. And so we're not doing it under our strength, but we're living out God's way in his strength. And so this is how this new partnership works. We've heard about how God's goal is to spread his goodness throughout the earth, and how Jesus himself went about doing good, preaching the good news, healing diseases, setting captives free, bringing hope, bringing justice, and forgiving humanity's wrongs. Well, at the cross, Jesus dealt with, he dealt a victorious blow to the devil at the cross, to wickedness itself. It's what we were looking at Alpha on Thursday night. And Jesus at the cross caused goodness to triumph in his resurrection, and he was offering this new life to you and me, to every person on the planet. And Paul then encourages us in Romans 12, 21, he says, don't let this evil conquer you, but conquer evil with good. So he's saying, don't let bitterness, don't let envy, don't let self-centeredness, anger, fear, lust become overcome you or your relationships with others. But instead, overcome these things by good. Overcome these things with goodness, with the good of God, with his ways, with his life. I want to show you a testimony that we saw on Thursday night at Alpha, which had such a big impact on me. This is a video testimony how evil can overcome good under the new covenant. I want you to observe in this testimony how not only was God at work, but this person, something was happening to them where they were responding in the situation, and they had something to do that they had to do to be able to bring change in a situation, to bring healing and restoration. So, and this other, the third party, had a part to play themselves in choosing a path of forgiveness. It was a three-way thing that meant goodness overcame evil. This is how it can work under the new covenant. Take a look at this story.
The good news is you can do it. James says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. We can overcome evil with good. That's how we attack. And one of the ways that we can do that is through forgiveness. In the prayer that Jesus teaches his disciples, known as the Lord's Prayer, he tells them to pray, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Forgiving someone is one of the hardest things that we can do, but there is such power in forgiveness.
My name is Bertie Emmanuel, and I participated in the 1994 genocide against the Tutsi. I murdered many Tutsi under the order of bad leadership, and I've spent 6 years in prison and 4 years in community service. While in prison, fellow prisoners invited me to try Alpha. I went, but struggled to engage. I realized I needed to tell the truth about what I had done and wrote a letter asking for forgiveness of the relatives of those I had murdered. Life was so hard after being released from prison. I found my wife with 2 children that were not mine, and I faced many heartbreaking situations. I didn't know how I was going to live with the genocide survivors. After what I had done, my heart was filled with agony, loneliness, and fear. Encouraged by Alpha in prison, I decided to do Alpha again. I learned that Jesus forgives and experienced love in a way I had never known before. With the help of a local pastor, I went to find Vincent, whose mother and grandmother I had killed, to ask for forgiveness. I now live in a village built for genocide survivors and perpetrators. Vincent lives in the same village. We have formed a friendship, and I now experience peace like I haven't experienced it before. Day-to-day life continues to be a challenge, but I have found forgiveness and healing for the things that I've done.
Paul writes, don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
So this is what a partnership with God can be like. God has got his heart-changing part that he does. 1 Corinthians says that Paul sowed, Apollos watered, but it was God that gives the increase. You see, God's the only one that can change a heart. He is the only one that can save. But we can sow the seed, and we can water. In this story, in this testimony, God is the one that touched a man in prison and changed his heart. But then he had a part as the murderer to ask forgiveness, to respond to Jesus. And it was the victim who had a choice to forgive. This is what it means to partner with God. God doing what is his to do, and us doing what is ours to do. And in situations, this is what I'd love us to learn as a church to do. To pray this prayer. Lord, what is mine to do? And God, what is yours to do? Because you see, like, here's the problem. And this is what I've been really learning myself this week. Too often, I find myself trying to do the bit that's God's to do. Do you ever end up doing that? So, okay, let's just take worry. Worry, you see, I just think we need to reframe what was going on with worry. Worry could be said is simply trying to take on what is God's to do. Worry is trying to take on what is God's to do. Because I don't know about you, but worry is a bit of the borderline on which I'm getting from my bit of the covenant to his bit of the covenant. It's the bit in my head when I'm going, oh my goodness, how's that going to happen? Oh no, I've got this meeting and it's going to be a fatal outcome. What's going to happen? Stuff that you have got no control over. And what I'm learning to do, when I feel a little bit of anxiety rising, I'm learning to take that as a cue that I am on the borderline of what's mine to do and what is the point to say, God, this is your bit to do. And what I'm learning to do, right, is when I'm beginning to feel a little bit anxious, is say, God, this is over to you right now. Because 1 Peter 5 says, cast your burdens onto him because he cares for you. You are never meant to carry around boulders of worry and anxiety in your relationship with God. You were designed to trust God. You were designed to be in a partnership with God where you can do the bit you can do, but by faith, we invite God to come in and do the stuff that he does. Woo! Yes! So I've had 3 meetings this week, not so much to do with HCC, because you're amazing, but other situations where I was like, God, I don't know. And I had such a peace. I was saying, Lord, this is over to you. I just want to be a giver in the situation. I don't want to, you know, I'm just going to be who you, I'm going to be for this person, what they need me to be. And I'm trusting you that you have got a plan, that you're going to work out how you're going to do it. And I tell you what, I've turned up in those meetings with such peace, with such calmness. And the person at the end of one meeting said, Tim, I just want to thank you for how you've been towards me, because you have not taken any of what I would have thought you'd be quite self-protective in this conversation, but actually you've been really generous. How can I be generous? Because I'm trusting on God's generosity into that situation. And you see, this is what it means to partner with God, to trust him. Philippians 4, 4-8 says, the Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And we just had to be so articulating about what our requests are. Because sometimes with worry, we just get overwhelmed. But there's a permission in your relationship with God to say, do you know what, Lord? We need this to happen. We need at work, we need this. This is, Lord, this would make the difference. We need some significant new sales coming through, or client bases coming through. You know, Claudia, you could worry about that, couldn't you? Or you could turn it into a prayer of faith. and say, Lord, this is what you know. This is the mountain we've got to take. Lord, I am kicking into partnership with you as the great provider, as the one who moves mountains, the one who makes a way where there seems to be no way. God, I am giving this to you. Every day, Lord, I am believing you for new partners, you know, new clients coming through. Lord, I'm just believing you for it. Lord, this is what we need. I can't do it. And it's true. None of us can grow a thing. We can do things to create the right environment for it, but I didn't design any of you to turn up in this room. I had no control over Les turning up today. It'd be a bit weird, like, Les, are you coming today? You better be there. That's called manipulation and a bit of control, perhaps. But, like, God just leads our paths across each other. It's his work. Lord, what's my part to do? God, and what's your part to do? And let's be people of faith that let God get on and do. And he's like, stop stressing out, Tim. Just include me. You know, let me do my bit. Because you're going to have so many more stories to tell. Instead, we want to be trusting God and not taking it on ourselves. And the problem is, when we start taking stuff on ourselves, we start making the mess messier. You ever done that? You start borrowing more to try and get yourself out of debt. Doesn't make sense. You start telling a little lie, twisting the truth. Start cutting corners, you know, because actually, yeah, well, sure, yeah, like the means will justify the end in the end. We start taking things into our own hands instead of trusting God. Some powerful, powerful stories in the Old Testament. Remember David, when he was running from Saul, King Saul, who was, you know, David had been promised to be king. He was waiting for his moment. And there was this bizarre encounter where David and his wild men are at the back of this cave. And who should come in to have his own private moment of, you know, convenience and, you know, so and so forth was King Saul. And David's mates go, David, this is your moment. You could just kill him right now, like in his most vulnerable position, squatting doing his business. He has got no defense. You could just slit his neck, slit his head off, come out of that cave to Saul's armies and say, I am now king. I'm now making myself King David king. And because, let's look at it, look like a God moment. Like on the face of it, what are the chances of your opposer coming in and being in a weak, vulnerable position that you could just strike? It just seemed a God moment. But do you know, as David began to creep, something began to go through his mind. And he was like, what kind of story do I want to be telling my grandkids about how I became king? Honorably or corruptly? What kind of future, what kind of story do we want to be telling out of the mess dilemmas that we find ourselves in life? I believe in every situation there is a virtuous God choice that you can make in any situation. And in that moment, David had this conviction come on him. Do not touch God's anointed. And he was like, I cannot put a knife to this man. Instead, that he actually felt mortified afterwards. He slitted a bit of the robe. And he then let Saul in dignity finished his business and went on his way. And as his opposing army went left, David then stands out on the crag out of that cave and he shouts across the valley and says, King Saul, Saul, I could have taken, you know, here's your robe, I could have taken you today. And in that moment, Saul is just the virtue of the situation. He's like, you are a better man than I. And, you know, he had to wait. David had to wait a number more years before the news came one day that an arrow had struck and killed his, you know, Saul. And it was at that point that people said, David, we will make you our king. And he came to that place out of honor and not out of his own maneuverings, out of his own fear and wanting to try and make things happen himself. He was prepared for God to do what was God's to do, and he knew what was for his to do. And my question is, how can we live as people who can be, who know what's for us to do, and we know what is for God's to do? Don't make your mess messier. Bring it to God and say, God, I want to give it to you. Lamentations 3:25-26 says, the Lord is good to those who wait on him. God was good to David because he waited. To the one who seeks him, it is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. God's salvation is going to look like X, Y, and Z in my work, in my family, in my situation. God, I wait for you to come and do you part, your part, whilst I'm obedient to what you're asking of me. And so today we've looked at what it means to come into a partnership with God and what it means to learn to become a partner with him. I mean, quite frankly, who would not want to be a partner with God? Who is up for being a partner with God? Would you be up for it? Would you like to turn your boring Christian life into a dynamic partnership with the creator of the very heavens and earth? God, is this possible? What's God's part to do, and what is your part to do? What is the situation going on right now for you that only God can do? And what is it for you to do? It's only the bit that you can do. God's like, I'm not going to do anything until you do what you do. He's like, that's your bit of the relationship to do. That's your bit of the partnership to do. Am I responding to what God's asked me to do? For this is what it means to be in a true partnership with God. This is what it can look like. I want to give a chance this morning that if there's anyone here who just go, do you know what? I have never known that it was possible to have a partnership with God. I never knew that I could have a relationship with God. And this morning, you felt for the first time God inviting you home to him. And he's saying, I want you to become my child, my friend. I want to forgive you of your sins and the stuff that's messed up that relationship. And today I want to give you an opportunity to give your life to Jesus for the first time. So what I'd advise to do is to stand to our feet, and we're going to also have an opportunity to respond to God this morning about any situations that we feel we're struggling with that we want to give over to him. So let's stand together. And I'd like us to just in this moment to close our eyes and I'm going to ask you, I've got mine open, and I'm just going to ask anyone here today that if you would like to give your life to Jesus for the first time, we're going to pray a prayer together in a moment, but just between for me at the moment, between you and me at the moment, if you'd like to give your life to Jesus, maybe you're trying to indicate that this morning by just simply slipping your hand in the air and saying, Tim, that's me today. I want just not only God to be my Savior, but I want him to be my Lord. Thank you. I've acknowledged that. Thank you. Thank you. Jesus. Guys, you can slip your hands down now. I've seen that. We're going to pray a prayer together, and those that responded, I invite you to join us in this prayer, which is a prayer of giving our lives to Jesus this morning and starting a new walk and relationship with him. The prayer's on the screen. Let's pray this together. Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you today and confess that I need you. Please come into my life and forgive me for all my sins. Jesus, be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for giving me a brand new start. Today, I open my life to you, and I am now your child. Amen. Just receive God's welcome. We welcome you into God's family this morning. This is a decision, a step that you've made that will mean you'll never be the same again.